Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. We've been going through and studying on the life of Joseph for some time now. And as soon as we get through this study on the life of Joseph, we're going to be moving into a study on the life of John the Baptist. I think that's going to be a tremendous study. I'm already preparing for that and excited about what we have to look into when it comes to the life of John the Baptist. I thought that this might be the last message on Joseph, but I just couldn't fit it all in, and I didn't think you'd want to stay here till 10 o'clock tonight, so I thought I'd better break it down to two final messages. This message tonight, and then next Wednesday night, we will, God's willing, be able to close out the study on the life of Joseph. It's been one of the most practical character studies that I've ever done, and I trust it's been helpful to you just learning these biblical principles. Joseph was a type of Christ in the Old Testament, and if you looked at his life and how Joseph lived his life, it was Christ-like. And so this is an example for you and I, even the Old Testament, on how to deal with situations and trials and whatever that might be of life. The theme of the life of Joseph has been that God is able to work all things out for good. And once we look at Joseph's life and we learn those biblical principles, you can look into the New Testament and you can find the scriptures that tell us the very same thing. And Joseph, in his life, he was a living testimony as to God was able to work all things out for good. And then we have Romans 8:28 that the Lord just gives it to us in the scriptures that we just hit us at. God is able to do this. All things do work together for good to those who love God and those that are called according to His purpose. If you love God, you'll love the things of God. And you'll live a life that is pleasing to God. You'll make right choices. When you love God and you make right choices, then God is able to work through those right choices no matter what the circumstances for good to come out of it, somehow, some way. Only God knows how He's going to do it, but He will do it if we make right decisions, if we make the right choices as we go through those trials and troubles of life. And so we've been able to study this and see the life of Joseph and how God worked all things out for Joseph, even when it didn't look like that there was any way that this could turn into something good. When Joseph was sold by his own brothers, betrayed by his own family, how could that ever work out for good? And if you didn't have God, you wouldn't think it could. When he was sold into slavery to Potiphar, and then as he was lied to by Potiphar's wife and placed in prison, seemingly a life in prison. How could that ever work out for good? You know, so it, on and on and on, all through the life. It's just a blessing that we've been able to study that and see that God is able to do that. God will do that. If we make right decisions and we stay focused on God as Joseph did, God can and He will work it out for good. Last week, we found that now Joseph, coming to the end of his life, he has had his family there in Egypt for the last 17 years, and his father had the first 17 years with Joseph. 23 years, Joseph was taken out of Jacob's life. That was Joseph's father, Jacob, and he believed, because he was lied to by his other sons, that Joseph was dead. For 23 years, he was oppressed by the lies of the devil. 23 years. He was so oppressed that nothing good happened in the life of Jacob during those 23 years. It was a very oppressive time in their life. But at the same time that they were oppressed because of the lies of the devil, God was working miraculously in the life of Joseph. And so after 23 years, then Joseph reveals himself to his father, and he got to live with him, and Joseph taking care of him for the last 17 years of Jacob's life. First 17 years, Jacob took care of Joseph. Gone 23 years, the last 17 years of Jacob's life, Joseph now has him in Egypt and taking care of him and the family in Egypt. What a blessing as we look over and study that. Well, Joseph had to bury his father, Jacob. very emotional time, very trying time, no doubt, a hard time, a mourning. And we went through all that. We went through the last several weeks. We've been studying how that was a perfect example of how to die, a perfect example on how to glorify God through life and death, how a perfect example how Joseph handled, you know, his father's death and how all the different things. He used it as a testimony. God used Joseph for a witness against the Canaanites because he took Jacob from Egypt all the way to the land of Canaan. The very same trip, the very same journey that Israel would make after they exited from Egypt. He makes this trip with this huge entourage from Egypt. And they took, and there in Canaan, they realized all of this took place because of a shepherd, which the Egyptians hated shepherds. And yet, he made such an impact on the Egyptians' life that they did this, and he took him all the way to Canaan to bury Jacob there in Canaan with his father and his grandfather, Abraham. And that was a witness. Only God could have done that. From that point forward, Israel started just drawing closer to God and growing in the land of Egypt. And the Canaanites became more wicked and vile in their life and their living to the place where God would take them out of the land, destroy them, and give the land back to Israel. So what a great lesson, understanding that. Well, he took him to Egypt. That was our last lesson. And he buried him there, brother. He took him to Canaan land. He buried him in Canaan land. And now we're going to find that Joseph returns to Egypt with his brothers. Joseph returns to Egypt. Now, what kind of a lesson, message is there in Joseph going back to Egypt with his brothers? There's a lot here. Stand with me. We're going to read it. Genesis chapter 40, verse 14 down to verse 21. And then we'll finish it up, verse 22 down to verse 26 next Wednesday night. All right, now I know it's dreary outside, and everyone, I know you're here, but it seems like you're just barely here. Amen? And plug in. You made the sacrifice, all right? You got out of that comfortable house, amen, and you didn't go to sleep. You didn't go to bed. You didn't sleep on your rocking chair, whatever. You decided, and you made the right decision. You came to church, and so that's half the battle. You hear me say this about every Wednesday. The other half of the battle is plugging into what God has for you. Amen? What a waste it would be if you just showed up and didn't get what God had for you in church. And so you didn't sacrifice for anything. You've sacrificed for the will of God to receive what God has for us. So let's plug into what God has for us here as we study the life of Joseph. Joseph returns to Egypt with his brethren. Verse 14. The Bible says, and Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. It's past now. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye, Joseph, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And then verse 20, this is the theme of the life of Joseph. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And pray that you'd help us to not only understand the story of Joseph, but that we would learn these biblical principles that are very applicable to our lives today. Meet with us and bless now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, what a great example we have in the man Joseph. Joseph's had that ability to continue to conquer the sorrows and troubles of life. Throughout his life, he had the ability to continue to conquer the sorrows and the troubles of life. His brothers would struggle with that. Their father died. It was a very troubling time. There's something about the death of a parent that just leaves a void in us. God instills such a love and desire for a child to be around their parents. And when that parent is gone, it's a very difficult time, no doubt about it. And many here have experienced that already. And we find that's what Joseph, especially when it's a patriarch. I mean, Dad is a patriarch of Israel. And he walks next to God. And they believe that as long as Dad there, he's got the power of God upon his life. And God is with him. And God's going to be with us because Dad's there. I mean, his presence represented the power of God. And he was part of the Abrahamic covenant that was passed down to him, and now he's passing it down to his sons. And so it was no doubt a feeling of void, a feeling of emptiness in their lives. And we'll find here that Joseph was able to conquer the sorrows and troubles even of losing his father. But the brothers had a problem with it. His brothers struggled and did some things to reveal their struggling inside. But first of all, Joseph. Why was Joseph able to continue to conquer the sorrows and the troubles of his life? There was one reason, and it's been repeated over and over again. He relied upon the presence of God. He just stayed focused on God and His will. And focusing on God and His will, he was looking to do that which God wanted him to do. By doing that, he's making right choices. He's making right decisions. And as he was making right decisions, he had God to look to know that his decisions was not based on the flesh. It was not based on the desires of others. It was based on faith in the Word of God, the will of God for his life. Can I tell you, that's something that all of us can have today. God has preserved His Bible for us. Can I tell you, what's in the pages of this Bible right here is the revealed will of God for everyone. First, starting with salvation. It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to the place of repentance. Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the entire world. God loved the world, all humanity, in such a way that He sacrificed and sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross so that whoever would receive Him could be saved. That's the revealed will of God for every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability, is to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone and be saved. And once you're saved, then you become a child of God's, and you're not your own anymore. And then God gives us an outline. God gives us the Word of God. He's preserved it for us so that we might know what is right in God's eyes and how to live our lives, how to live every aspect of our life, how to live as children in the home, and how to live as young adults, and how to live as married couples, and how to live as parents, and how to live as grandparents, and how to finish out our life. I mean, it's all right there in the Word of God. And what God has revealed, that's God's revealed will to everyone. It's the same across the board as far as God is no respecter of persons. And if you know that and you continue to stay focused on that, you make right decisions, and if you're making the decisions that God wants you to make, you have God's hand of protection and you have God's hand of blessings upon your life. And it will make a difference. It will make a difference. It allowed him to have right thinking and allowed him to claim the promises that God would give to him. It would also limit the scars of sin in his life. His brothers had scars of sins. Many. His brothers did not have right thinking. His brothers were not looking into God and claiming the promises of God. Joseph's ability to continue to conquer the sorrows and troubles of life came as a result of focusing his life on God. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to see this. That's exactly what the Bible tells us. That's exactly what the Bible tells us. That's what I love about this story of Joseph, because he's the type of Christ in the Old Testament. Everything about his life, it's Christ. It is Jesus living his life. Look here, 2 Peter. In chapter 1, as Peter was writing to those Christians that had been scattered abroad in 1 and 2 Peter, I want you to see how he introduces this second book of 2 Peter to them. And he says this, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith, you're saved. If you're saved, this is for you. Through the righteousness of God, our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace, this peace that passeth all understanding, this peace is going to help you to make it through the problems and make it through the troubles and make it through the sorrows that we will face in this life. No one is exempt from that. Getting saved does not mean that you're exempt from trouble. Being saved does not mean that you're exempt from having sorrow. Getting saved does not mean that you're not going to have battles in your life. No, you will have. But you'll not have to go through them alone. You'll not have to go through them without an Almighty God to look to who can give you instructions every step of the way and how to deal with them. That's the difference between Joseph being able to handle and to continue to conquer the sorrows and troubles of life and his brothers who were not able to do that. The knowledge of God and of our Jesus Christ. This grace and peace comes through the knowledge of God. And then he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us, according to God and who he is, has revealed to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things, that's everything. That's your life is your life. That's from the moment, amen, that you have life until the moment that your life is no longer here. Amen? From birth till death. That's what he says right here. They pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. That's Joseph. Joseph desired the knowledge of God. Joseph stayed focused on God. And as he was focused on God, he had the thinking that God wanted him to have, that God's hand of protection was upon him, and that no matter what he had to go through, God had a purpose, God had a plan, and God was going to work it out for good. Amen. Wow. That's what allowed him to continue to conquer everything, even to continue to make it through the death of his father and to go on with life, because life goes on. No matter what we face, no matter how horrible it might be, no matter how troublesome it might be, no matter how sorrowful it might be, life goes on. And we need to do more than just exist. Can I tell you, in the beginning, I tell people, at the very beginning, you just need to exist. Just get through the turmoil. Get through the shock. Get through whatever it might be and how it's affected you, because you're human and you're flesh. Just get through that. But as you're getting through that, look to God And as you look to God, He's going to help you every step of the way to have right thinking, because you'll have the knowledge of God, you'll have the promises of God to look to, and you'll make it through it. And can I tell you, and you might not understand how, but you'll be stronger on the other side than you were going into it. That's just how God works. If you continue to focus on Him, and in focusing on Him, making the right choices, you'll be stronger because of it. Why? Because God is going to work it out for good. It starts with you, strengthening you through that trial. No one ever wants to go through trials. No one ever wants to have to face the difficulties of life. But if God allows it, then there's a purpose. And you have to know that. And life goes on. Life was going on post Jacob. Post having dad right there to talk to him every day. Post having dad there to tell him all about his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham and how God worked in their lives and telling them all the stories of the Bible. I would love to have had Jacob there telling me about Adam and Eve and creation. The insight he would have had into that. Yeah. Post whatever experience, Joseph continually stayed focused on God, and he was able to conquer all the sorrows and troubles of life. Well, now let's look at the brothers. They were rascals from the very beginning. Amen. They were rebels. It was a dysfunctional home. Jacob's home was dysfunctional. Joseph was the only one out of the boys that had a desire for God and the things of God. And because of that, because Jacob knew that he was part of the Abrahamic covenant and knew that God was going to work through him, he poured his life into Joseph. He put Joseph above the other boys and had Joseph going out and keeping track of them. And he gave him the coat of many colors, which represented he's in charge. The youngest of the boys was put in charge of the older boys because he could trust Joseph and he couldn't trust the other boys. They didn't like that. But that's what went on. So they kill, or they sell him to slavery. They was going to kill him, and then they went home and told dad, deceived father into thinking that he was dead. They lived a life of sin. The response of Joseph's brothers was not the same response of Joseph. Verse 15 to 18, we find that they said, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, he was the only, in their minds, they're thinking, he was the only reason Joseph kept us alive. Dad's presence kept Joseph on track and taking care of us. Wasn't for Dad, Joseph wouldn't have forgiven us. If it wasn't for Dad, Joseph would not have helped us. Now you see the imagination of the mind starting to run wild. And so now that dad's dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure, this is what he's going to do. He's going to kill us all. He's going to turn us all into slaves. He's going to put us in the dungeon. He's going to get his revenge now. He held off until dad was dead. And after 17 years, now that dad's dead, Joseph has had this planned all along, and he is going to make life miserable for us. Can you see that going on in their minds? Have you ever done that? Your mind jumps to conclusions that are not true, but yet you think they're true because that's where your mind goes. That's where the imagination of the mind goes. And so they make up a plan. All right, well, let's just send a messenger to tell Joseph that Dad had one final lesson for him. Dad had one final message for him regarding us boys. Not to kill us. And if you love Dad, you're going to love us. You're going to continue to forgive us. Now, that's what's going on there. Verse 15 down to verse 18, I think it's obvious. They were thinking, what are we going to do now? And they allowed their imaginations to run wild, thinking that Joseph would surely seek his revenge at this point. And that led to wrong behavior. I guarantee you, if you allow the imagination of your mind to run wild, it's going to lead you to a wrong conclusion and followed by wrong behavior. Joseph knew they were lying. You say, how do you know that? Well, Jacob and Joseph had a very close relationship. Joseph and his father talked all the time. We go through. Jacob would have told Joseph himself if he thought that it was necessary. But Jacob knew that Joseph forgave them. Jacob knew that his son was Christ-like. And when he said he forgave him, he forgave him. Forgiveness is not forgetting, because listen to me, you can't forget. It's in your subconscious mind. Everything you've ever saw, everything you've ever heard, everything that you've ever experienced, all of those things are in your subconscious mind. The brain is probably the first computer ever created or developed. God created it. God developed it. Who knows how God's going to use the brain and what it's been able to keep track of for your life. I believe it's somehow it's all connected. But it's stored in the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is the closest thing to the spiritual realm as we can ever get to. And many times, thoughts from your childhood will pop back into your mind. And you think, wow, I hadn't thought about that in ages. Where'd that come from? Sometimes even in our dreams get us closer to that subconscious living as well. And in our dreams, things of the past will bring back to mind. I mean, we'll wake up and thinking about things or experiencing things that took place in the past. And you're wondering, wow, where'd that come from? It's connected to that imagination of the mind as well. It had been 40 years since they had done this evil against Joseph. And it was still haunting them. Even they said this in verse 17, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren. Did they trespass against him? They sold him into slavery. And their sin, was that sin against God and Joseph? For they did unto thee evil. I don't know how much more evil they could have done. I mean, they sold him into slavery. They would have killed him, but they wanted to get some money out of it. And then they deceived their father in convincing him that he was dead. They did kill him in Jacob's eyes. I mean, he was gone. It had been 40 years since they had done this evil against Joseph. 17 years since they came to live in Egypt. 17 years since Joseph said, I forgive you. And never one time did anything that would have questioned his true forgiveness. 17 years. But the effects or scars of sin can haunt us for life. Why? Because they're stored. They're stored. The sins that we committed in our youth, they've scarred the mind. They're there. You cannot erase those because they're ever with your flesh. In God's eyes, they have been removed as far as the east is from the west and never to be brought back to our account. In God's eyes, in our fellowship with God, we are sinless because He has forgiven, He has cleansed us, but we live with the scars of sin. They're stored. And what they are used for is evil. Every sin that we have committed, we have given Satan more control of our lives. We have given him more ammunition to work against us. God will not bring it back up. Why? He's forgotten them. He's cast them as far. But Satan, whatever sin that we've committed, we have yielded to that. And because of that yielding to that sin, we have given that over to the flesh, which Satan is very much aware of. The flesh. He works through the flesh. He works through the sin nature. And if we're not careful, he uses those in a way to get our imaginations running wild. And getting us to act upon the imaginations of the mind. He knows our weaknesses because you've revealed your weaknesses to him. He'll never forget that. And that'll never go away. What seemed to bring them temporary pleasure and satisfaction. Well, we got him. This dreamer that said he was going to bow down to him, this daddy's boy. Look at him now. We got our revenge. We got him. That lasted for a little while. The pleasures of sin. There can be pleasures in sin for a season. You can have temporary pleasure. You can have temporary even satisfaction by getting vengeance, hurting that individual, getting back at whatever it might be. What you don't realize, that temporary pleasure is going to scar you for life. Soon, right after that, their temporary pleasure turned into pain and grief when they saw what they did to their father when he lost the desire to live and would not be comforted. For 23 years, they had to live with that, seeing how their lies affected their father. And Satan started getting the victory almost immediately. Their past sin was still being used against them, and their imaginations ran wild. Their imaginations ran wild. He's going to kill us now. What are we going to do? Fear? It just filled their hearts and their minds with fear. They had no peace. They had no comfort. They reverted back to lies, thinking that if we did this, you revert back to your weaknesses. They had a weakness of lying and deceiving. And so what are they going to do now? They're going to try to lie and deceive all over again. Satan knew their weaknesses. He knew how to get them to sin. He knew how to get them back into the very same situation they were before. And they had not learned how to protect themselves against the wiles of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Powerful passage right here. I use it in counseling quite often because it reveals the spiritual battles. And all of us fight spiritual battles. And many of the battles that you fight, Satan's blinding you to the root problem, the scars of sin. And because you're blinded to the scars of sin, you're not dealing with the root problem. We are more than conquerors through Christ. And as long as we stay focused on Him, and we stay focused on Him making the right decisions, no matter what our circumstances, then we can conquer the scars of sin. We can overcome the, they're still there, but we know where they're coming from. We know how Satan's going to use them, and we can overcome them. You'll never get rid of them. But you can live a victorious Christian life even with them, because you learn how to overcome them. You learn the wiles of the devil. And you learn that greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. And you have a new nature, and you have an ability to have right thinking. And that's why we find 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, and the flesh is every scar from any and every sin you've ever committed. That's the flesh. You can't undo that. Your mind, the more you gave into that sin, the more wide the path is for that sin. It's just like if you trails. When you go out in the woods, if you go out in the woods, you go hunting, you always look for the trail. And the more that you walk in that trail, the more patted down it gets. And before you know it, I mean, nothing will grow there. And you can get through the woods and the weeds, whatever. It's wide open because it kept going back on that very same path. The very same way our minds are. The more we have trodden down the mind in these paths, the harder they're going to be to overcome them. Because that's where your mind's going to go instantaneously unless you correct it. You get the ways of the world. The ways of the world, they think one way. A Christian's mind ought to be thinking a different way. But if you've walked that path long enough, it's going to be difficult to overcome that path. But you can overcome that path. So he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You've given Satan ammunition if you've lived a life of sin. When you got saved, it didn't change the scars, the damage that's done to your body. If you got saved and you were a drunkard before, it didn't change your liver. If you got saved and you were a chain smoker, getting saved didn't change your lungs. They're scarred. If your mind was given to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, when you got saved, it didn't change your mind. Before you got saved, that's all you had. Now that you're saved, you have a whole new creature inside. You are a new creature. You have a new nature. That you have a decision to make on what to yield to. Wow. Oh, we need to get this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Through focusing on Him, through looking to His Word, through understanding, making right decisions, understanding what's right and what's wrong. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. No matter how much of a stronghold Satan had on you in that area of lust, no matter how strong of a stronghold he had on you in the area of whatever you might go into, God says you can pull it down. You can overcome it. Scars are there, but you can overcome it. And he said, casting down imaginations. Don't let your mind wander. Don't give in to all of these different thoughts of the mind. Most of them are wrong because they've been filled with sin and scars. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against, look right here, against the knowledge of God. and bringing into captivity every thought to what? The obedience of Christ. Amen. The will of God for your life. That's what Joseph had been, that's the life he had been living. And because he had been living that life, he was able to continue to conquer the sorrows and the troubles, no matter what they were. The brothers could not. When Satan starts using those scars against us, all we have to do is remind ourselves of the love of God, the grace and the mercy of God, the promises of God. Amen. It'd be much better off if we didn't have those scars. It'd be a lot easier. We know it now. We didn't realize it then. Teenagers, you need to know it. You need to realize it while you still have a chance to keep your mind from being scarred. Reader's Digest. In an interview with a convicted thief who had been known for picking any locked door, getting through any locked door. He had been convicted and spent his time in prison. And after he got out, they had an interview with him. And he said he could not trust any locked door. He said he lived in fear of someone breaking in every night. Because he knew there was probably somebody else like him out there. And he realized if he did it, what would keep somebody from doing it to him? He said he lived in fear every night of somebody breaking in because of what he knew that he had done to other people. And there was not a locked door that he couldn't get through. Now for us, ignorance is bliss sometimes, man. We think that little lock is going to keep everybody out. That little chain to put over there, if the lock doesn't, that chain's going to do it. No one's going to get through. Yeah. Joseph's Christ-like response is what I want to look at. That's how we're going to finish here tonight, because the response of his brothers, my goodness. Look at the response of Joseph when we're done. Go back there with me. First of all, we find that when they did this, Joseph wept. Now, some say, why did Joseph weep there? Well, he knew they were lying. And he realized that even though for 17 years he had a testimony that he had forgiven them and never one time did anything to lead them to think anything different. And he realized, I still don't have a right relationship with my brothers. And they said, we're going to be your servants. Joseph didn't need them to be his servants. Joseph needed them to be his brothers. And he realized he didn't have the relationship that he could have and should have had if his brothers had not had that scar, those scars of sin. Satan was still using that to keep him from that relationship. But he tells them, and he did the most Christ-like thing that you could do in dealing with his brothers. And Joseph said in them, verse 19, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He said, I'm not your judge. I forgave you a long time ago. He'd already turned the judgment over to God. He wanted them to know that. You don't have to fear me. I forgave you. I don't know what's going on inside of you. I turned that over to God. What you need to do is just stay focused on God. When we do that, when we turn the judgment over to God, what we're saying is, I'm not going to allow Satan to use someone else's sin to haunt me for life. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Can I tell you that many are allowing other people's sins against them to haunt them for life? Because you've not turned judgment over to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. The Bible says in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Just stay holy and stay right with God, even when it comes to relationships with other people. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient for you to do things God's way. Forgive them. Turn the judgment over to God. And when we fail to do that, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Because you're allowing somebody else's sin against you to haunt you for life. Joseph said, I determined a long time ago I was not going to let what you did to me haunt me for life. I turned that over to God long, long time ago. Wow, that's powerful. That's good. And then in verse 20 and verse 21, he says this, but as for you, you thought evil against me. Yes, you did me wrong. You did me wrong. You did evil. But at the same time, but God meant it unto good. God allowed it. God allowed it. You're not my enemy. Satan's the enemy. God allowed it. He has something good for me. Something good to come out of it. I've turned the judgment of your evil over to God. And then verse 21. Now and therefore. Very important to see it. Now, today. What Joseph's saying now. Here we're at. We're here today. Life goes on. Life goes on. I'm not going to let the past control my future. Whatever's happened up to this point, I want you to come to this understanding now, today. Therefore, knowing that you have repented and are now in God's will. Because he took them through the trials. He took them through the tests. They actually repented of what they had done to Joseph before they even realized Joseph was alive. And he saw that. He knew of their repentance. He knew of their desire to do right from that point forward. And so he says, now, today, and therefore, knowing that this is where you're at today, fear ye not. Get victory over your imaginations. Get victory over your past sins. Get the victory over the scars that have scarred your life. Get the victory. And I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's exactly what God is telling us today. What Joseph was telling him is exactly what God tells you and I today. Today, now. Therefore, you repented. You've forsaken that sin. You want to overcome that sin. As long as you continue to turn away from that and look to me, God says, I'll nourish you and your little ones. And I'll bless you. And I'll give you the ability to overcome whatever scars that you have in your life. I'll treat you like family. That's what Joseph was telling his brothers. I'll treat you like family. Because what I need from you is not you to be my servant. Joseph's saying, what I need you to be is my brothers. And that's what a brother would do. All of us have scars because we're all sinners, saved by grace. Some have greater, some have more. Some have a more clear path that you used to go through. All of us have a past. All of us have scars from every sin we've ever committed. But through God, we can pull down any and every stronghold that Satan ever had on us. If we'll stay focused on Him and continue to make His decisions. If I can have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a great study in the life of Joseph. Joseph, because of controlling his thoughts, because he continued to focus on God, he would be able to conquer every trouble, every trial, and every sorrow that life would bring to him. It's how God wants us to live. That's the victory that he wants to give you and I. I'm not going to have a musical invitation, very seldom do on Wednesday night, but if God's speaking to you, if you need to come for whatever reason, we invite you to come. Make whatever decision that God would have you to make. I trust it's a decision of God. I'm trusting in you to help me to overcome the scars of my past. Get the victory that God has for you.